One way to reflect on the great gift of faith is to make a reflection on what is old and what is new. You see this all the time in Christianity. There's the old covenant and the new covenant. There's the old testament and the new testament. There's the old law and the new law. Not that what is old is bad or left behind, but that, because we still keep what is good in what is old, but that there is certainly something new when we come to Jesus Christ. Jesus adds something that didn't, that wasn't included in what was old. So we see this all the time. Yesterday we reflected on the conversion or the call of Matthew the tax collector, and it was a surprise to everybody that Jesus wanted this man to be part of his company. And then after Matthew got up from his sinful life and followed Jesus, he had this big banquet. And at the banquet, there were all these tax collectors and sinners. And the Pharisees said, well, that's not the way it's supposed to be. The Pharisees had the old understanding that you keep away from sinners, and sinners are a hopeless case, and stay pure. So, but something new. Jesus said, no, something new is here. The doctor's here. We'll see something like this tomorrow also, if you looked ahead to tomorrow's gospel. The pondering groups may have already reflected on tomorrow's gospel. Jesus goes back to Nazareth, and the people of Nazareth say, well, he's just a carpenter. Why should we accept him? In other words, they're looking at him with old eyes, and they can't see anything new about him, and so they don't get the benefit of his ministry. So Jesus is new, but we might be stuck in what is old. Or something along these lines comes up in today's gospel when the disciples of John the Baptist ask the question, what about fasting? That's the way we do it. That's the way we do it. That's the way the disciples of the Pharisees do it. And they come to Jesus and say, well, why are you not doing it the old way? Why are you not following the old way? You're not fasting. Your disciples aren't fasting. They're eating with tax collectors and sinners. They're eating all the time. And Jesus says, well, something new is here, the arrival of the groom. Before the groom comes, yeah, maybe you don't eat. But when you have a wedding feast, you eat. You eat, you celebrate. So that's what Jesus is revealing here. Something completely new, so it requires a new way of life. You can't just take what is new and add it to what is old. Think of Matthew yesterday at the tax collector's post. If Jesus said, follow me, and Matthew said, okay, that's a good idea, I'll remain a tax collector and I'll just add on a little button that says, I also am a follower of Jesus. It wouldn't work. You had to leave the old behind and follow the new way. If anyone has been around here this week, you know that we've been going through a purgatory in this building. A week ago, Thursday, we had a terrible leak and there was water dripping on into the sanctuary here. There's a big puddle here. There's a leak, a water leak somewhere in the second floor. And so the plumbers came and said, okay, we'll fix the leak. I thought that they would just find the leak and patch it. Turns out, they have replaced every single pipe in the whole building. I don't know what was going on, but every single pipe, removed every single toilet and every sink. And there's a lot of plumbing in this building, and they're still not finished. So the sacristy there still doesn't have any water. So my idea was, like Jesus says, that you would just put a patch on what's old and fix it up. And he said, that doesn't work. And apparently the plumbers understood, you can't just patch the leak. You have to replace it. It has to be completely new. I hope they're right. Anyway, we're through the worst of it. But the idea is, when Jesus comes, you can't just patch it on to the old. You can't just take a new idea and patch on the old. It doesn't work. It's just going to leak out. It's going to spill all over the place. I like to apply this understanding of what is old and what is new to the story, the inspiring story of today's saint, Saint Maria Goretti. You know the story of Maria Goretti. She's an 11-year-old girl, a 20-year-old man who happens to share the same apartment building, attacks her, intent on raping her. She resists, he kills her. Terrible story. So there's two characters in the drama, right? There's Maria, the innocent victim, and then there's the rapist murderer, whose name is Alessandro Serenelli. Alessandro came from a very poor family. His mother died when he was a baby. His father was a heavy drinker. There was mental illness in the family. They're very poor. He had a little education. He knew how to read, but he was a very poor, broken person. He was influenced by bad company. He was influenced by immoral literature, what at the time would probably be called pornography. Nowadays, it might not even be considered pornography because now it's so much worse. But anyway, he was influenced by things that stirred up his passions, distorted his understanding of how to relate to people. And so he fixed his eyes on this young girl, Maria, with the idea that he's either going to have her or he's going to kill her. So he's basically a creepy jerk, 20-year-old, a broken, evil man. Maria, she's also very poor. Her father died when she was young, not as young as when the mother of Alessandro died, but she also is in a single-parent family. In fact, she's poorer, she has less education, she's younger, she's weaker, she's a girl. You could say she's worse off than Alessandro. But no, because she has something Alessandro doesn't have. She has faith. She knows Jesus Christ. So in the conflict between them, what looks like Alessandro is the winner because he can easily destroy her, and he actually does kill her, and she's the victim. What looks like Alessandro has the upper hand. In fact, Maria has something new that he doesn't have. Now, maybe it's not fair to make the comparison old and new, because even in the old law, and even in the most worldly understanding of things, Alessandro is a bad man. I mean, nobody thinks it's a good thing to go attacking young girls. Nobody thinks that, I don't think. So that's not like, it was the old law. That was never the law. That should never be in any culture, in any system of morality. Attacking young innocent girls is never right. But it does happen a lot. I mean, if you go to the jail, you can find creepy 20-year-olds from dysfunctional families, bad literature, influenced by pornography, caught up in drugs, bad crowd, and they think bad things about people. I mean, they attack their girlfriends, they attack their neighbors, and there's lots of guys like that. Not most, I don't get me wrong. Look, we got some 20-year-olds back in the back here, good men. They're good men too, they're not all bad men. They're good men. And most men are not, you know, murderers and rapists. But I'm saying there's a lot of guys like that, and there's a lot of innocent victims in the world too, especially people who are vulnerable, poor, young, refugees, immigrants, that, you know, people who are left without stable families. There's a lot of them. And we don't make a big story out of them. We just mourn the tragedy that happens. Why does Maria Goretti stand out as an example for the 20th century, modern times? Not because she was attacked and killed. That happens. But because of her response in the moment of the attack, which revealed her greatness, which we probably wouldn't have noticed if she hadn't been attacked, revealed her confidence in God, her firm determination to oppose sin, not only for her own sake, but also for Alessandro's sake. You know the story. When he attacked her, and this wasn't the first time, she knew he was out to get her. And she knew it was wrong. It was a sin. It was a mortal sin. If you do this, you could go to hell for this. That's what she knew. So she had faith. She understood that you don't do evil. You don't go against the will of God because you destroy yourself in the process. So her resistance is not just because she doesn't like him or she doesn't want to do it. Of course, that's fine too. That's right. But also because it's bad for him. See what is new here? Don't do it. You'll go to hell. You'll go to hell for this. As if she's more concerned about his eternal life than she is for her own temporal life. This is something really new. and very inspired. Well, that didn't dissuade him. He still attacked her and tried to kill her. He did kill her. But before she died, she expressed a willingness to forgive him. She expressed a desire for him to go to heaven. See, this is something new. This is not found in the old law, and it's not found in any human motivation or earthly culture. This is Christianity, to want even the wicked to go to heaven. Even our enemies. Talk about love of enemies. That's a love of enemies. I don't want you to be around me, Alessandro. I don't want you to attack me, and I don't want to see you again, but I sure want to see you in heaven. That's new. That's why St. Maria Goretti is an inspiration to young girls, but also to everybody. To live like that, to live with confidence in God, to live with firm conviction against all sin. I would rather die than sin. To live with love of neighbor, even the worst neighbors, and a desire for their conversion and their eternal salvation. That's a great way to live. That's a heroic way to live. Well, Alessandro goes to jail. He was not yet 21, and the time that was, he was still considered a minor, so he wasn't given a life sentence. He was given 30 years in jail. He got out early, 27 years for good behavior. 27 years in jail. When he gets out, he's already old. While he was in jail, Maria Goretti appeared to him and offered him forgiveness, and he converted. He converted while in jail. And when he got out of jail, what did he do? He went to Maria's mother, fell down on his knees before her, and begged her forgiveness for killing her daughter. Oh. And the mother forgave him. That's new. That's new, right? The old is, you kill my daughter, I'll kill you. You do something against me, I'll do something against you. You're against me, I'm against you. That's the old way. The new way is, love your neighbor, pray for your persecutor, forgive those who attack your children. Not that you want them to do it, but you're willing to let go of the offense because that's what God does. And the mother of Maria, she said, well, Maria already forgave him. Who am I to withhold forgiveness? Beautiful story of conversion. Alessandro is a story of conversion. He's not just a murderer. He's also a convert. He's a man who repented of his sins and was forgiven. Forgiven by Maria, forgiven by Maria's mother, forgiven by the Lord. That's great. It's a great story. If you look at the big picture, if all you look at is attempted rape, murder, criminality, victim, it's a terrible story. It's terrible. But if you look at it from God's perspective, there's something new at work here. This isn't not just old. It's not just the same old thing. Creepy guys attacking young girls. That's old. The new thing is the victory of God over sin, over death. Now, Maria and her mother and Alessandro are in heaven, reigning in heaven, because of the victory of God over sin, the victory of mercy. And that's something really new. So we don't have to be stuck in the old ways of sin. We don't have to live according to the old principles of our flesh or of the world or of what's expected of us. We have something new. That is Jesus Christ. And Jesus makes everything new. He makes new things possible for everyone. And that's the hope that we live with, we live in. And we ask the intercession of today's heroic great saint, Saint Maria Goretti.